Almighty Father, open the eyes of our understanding, and as we understand, strengthen our will to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be preaching on the gospel reading for today, but the epistle is worth reading and rereading, and especially relevant is verse 8 in that reading. Now, how would you react to someone telling you that they had seen and talked with a person whom you knew had died? At the very best, I would tell them they were mistaken. Hadn't they heard that our friend was no longer with us? Although that would be puzzling and difficult to cope with, it, perhaps, it fits in with longings some may have about someone who has passed on. I can recall several times wishing that our older son could have known my father, after whom he was named. And he was named soon after Dad died at age 54. The reality is that it does not happen. That is, apart from dreams and visions that people do have. When people die, we do not see them, nor do we expect to see them again in our lifetime. This everyday matter-of-fact knowledge can actually help us to understand the reaction of our Lord's friends when faced with reports of his resurrection. It was so far outside their experience, they could not at first accept it as true or real. Easter Day began with grief, doubt, confusion, and disbelief. However, as more and more people saw and spoke with Jesus, those attitudes gave way to belief and eventually to great rejoicing. I say eventually because it did take some time for the disciples to accept the reality of our Lord's resurrection. The first to believe was a woman. Initially, Mary Magdalene was no less disbelieving than the others. But she was the one blessed by the first meeting with the risen Jesus. It was her recognition of Jesus now alive which brought belief to her. Luke tells us in his gospel that when the women first brought the message from the angels, the disciples did not believe them. Luke writes that the words of the women seemed to be like nonsense. Nor did they receive any better the risen Lord's message carried by Mary. I don't know whether you've ever thought of this, but the doubt, the confusion, and disbelief displayed by the early believers are all healthy. Yes, healthy. I say that because their reactions treat the resurrection seriously. They did not take it for granted, even though they should have known. They were told at least three times, I think it's probably four, by Jesus, that it was going to happen. But they did not take it for granted. What is more, the whole progression from despairing grief and disbelief to joyful belief shows that we are dealing with the best kind of witnesses. We are reading about skeptics. Skeptics who were convinced against their natural inclination. This was not a brainwashed group of gullible individuals who would believe anything they were told. In the gospel reading read a short time ago, we have an almost perfect example of what I've been saying. On the evening of that first day of the week, Jesus appeared to a group of the disciples in a locked room. That's interesting in itself. When those disciples later told Thomas they had seen the Lord, Thomas would not believe them. Thomas answered their news of having seen the Lord with these well-known words: "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." There's no gullibility here. Rather, the reverse. Here is a dogged refusal to be taken in or deceived. Doubting Thomas is a term commonly used by those who do not claim to be Christian. Yet, as we read in John 20, there is another way of looking at Thomas's position. Thomas did not waver. He was quite emphatic. In fact, he had no doubts whatsoever. He was convinced that Jesus was dead and that he would stay dead. Then, a week after his refusal to accept the eyewitness reports of his friends, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked as they were before. And as before, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." We have no idea whether Thomas's words, rather, were spoken earlier, were reported to Jesus, or whether Jesus knew what Thomas said by some supernatural means. And I suppose it doesn't matter, but I'm interested to know. The important thing is Thomas's response. His response to seeing and hearing and recognizing Jesus as the one who was dead, but who is now obviously alive. Look at verse 28. Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." So the man who surpassed the rest of the disciples for the forceful way in which he expressed his disbelief now outdid them again with his cry of awestruck belief. And once more, we are ignorant as to what happened in detail. Did Thomas reach out and touch Jesus, as he said he must do if he was going to believe it was truly Jesus alive again? Well, I've assumed that on seeing and hearing Jesus, Thomas did not need to take that course of action. His exclamation of recognition and of faith and worship seems to have burst out of him. Then followed What must be among the most encouraging words Jesus spoke for the likes of you and me? You and I were not eyewitnesses to seeing Jesus alive again. That's rather obvious, isn't it? 2,000 years have passed since that event was reported by John and others. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Verse 80 in 1 Peter 1. Some people see these words of Jesus as a rebuke for Thomas, especially the first half of the sentence, which could infer the meaning of, "Why couldn't you have believed when your friends told you last week that I had risen?" I do not think this was a rebuke. As I said, in the second half of the sentence, we have great potential for our encouragement, because they were written for such as we are. Until the judgment day, you and I are unlikely to see Jesus face to face. Someday I'll tell you about an embarrassing time. I'll tell you now. It was Easter, and it's Streaky Bay, and there was a group of nuns who came across from Waiala for the Easter, and we used to join together in the school RI, and it was my turn to lead the thing and plan it. And so there was Sister Helen, I forget the other's name. Anyway, we were planning it all, and I said, "Look, I think we'll start this way. I'll ask the other one a question." And I said, "Joan, have you ever seen Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." Oops. I said, "Right, well, I'm glad we started with a bit of planning." And I said to Helen, I said, "Helen, have you ever seen Jesus?" She paused and said, "No." So everything was all right. Yeah. Yes, until the judgment day, we are unlikely to see Jesus face to face like Thomas did. Yet, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus was speaking here of all believers in all times. I include in the number such people as Abraham and Moses and other great believers of pre-New Testament times, as well as believers of our own post-resurrection era. Now, if those close in time to the events reacted with caution and doubt, you and I should not be surprised if we or others have a similar reaction. I choose to use the word reaction rather than response, because a reaction is generally seen as an initial or immediate reflex action to something, whereas a response can be seen as coming after some consideration of or reflection on what has provoked it. The point I'm making here is that although the initial reaction of Jesus' followers was disbelief and rejection of the reported truth, their ultimate response was belief and acceptance. Thomas is the outstanding example. What brought about the change? It was being faced with evidence of Jesus' resurrection. And the evidence was Jesus himself, alive and present with them. So we would say, seeing and hearing is believing. What about now? If people today are going to move from a normal and natural reaction of disbelief to a response of acceptance and trust that Jesus is alive, what sort of evidence will bring about the change? I believe it will be the same sort of evidence which prompted Thomas and the others to change. It will be the presence of the risen Lord Jesus himself. Got that? It will be the presence of the risen Lord Jesus himself. Now, you will quite properly say that since our Lord's ascension to be with the Father in heaven, apart from special visions and dreams, no one has seen Jesus. How then can our Lord's presence give people the evidence they need to believe today? We could simply answer that the eyewitness reports of the New Testament, together with the reports of secular writers, give us good and ample evidence. In his sermon 2 weeks ago, Trev made that point. I'm sure that is true for some. But for most people today, most people today who do respond to meeting the risen Jesus, their response is not initially to the scriptural and other evidence of his risen presence. More commonly, people become aware of our risen Lord's presence as Jesus lives in his people. Yes, in his people. As we Christians open ourselves to God's Spirit, he changes us bit by bit to become more and more like Jesus himself. I'm sure that more people are convinced today that Jesus Christ is alive by the changed and changing lives of Christians than by any other means. I do not need now to be convinced about the truth and reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I do continue to have my faith in the risen Jesus strengthened. It is strengthened by observing the same Spirit who raised Jesus from death, changing people's lives now. I see Jesus living in and through them, in and through you. You and I need continually to ask ourselves, how often have people been convinced or would be convinced Jesus is alive now by observing me? The more you and I are determined to open ourselves to God's Spirit and allow ourselves to be restored to God's image,
yeah,
the more people there will be sharing with us this celebration of our Lord's resurrection. It will not be just once a year, but at each weekly commemoration of that great event of Sunday, the first day of the week. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who seek to believe, may we who have not yet seen our risen Lord as the apostles did, have faith and receive the fullness of his blessing. Amen.